Welcome to another episode of Backlash Podcast. This week, we're going to talk to Amanda Wilson from Deerfoot Lodge in the Chippewa Flowage. She's going to kind of talk about lots of different topics. We're going to talk about Ladies Muskie School, talk about the PMTT, talk about her tournament win from 2017, caught a 50.5-inch muskie, something I've never touched in my life. And so, good conversation there. Just, you know, just a general muskie conversation this week. And so it'll be a little bit different, you know, because like I said, we're not breaking down waters, but most muskie anglers we talk to these days are not breaking down new water. We're still stuck. We either are dealing with seasons. We're not dealing with ice. We haven't been dealing with ice for a while, but most of us are still dealing with closed seasons. And that'll all shake out a little bit, three weeks, I believe. It's Southern Wisconsin muskie opener, and then a few weeks after that, 3 weeks after that, we're doing the Northern opener, and then a little bit after that, Minnesota will be doing their opener, and then a little bit after that, Canada will be doing their opener. So within, you know, whatever, 6 to 8 weeks, the whole podcasting muskie platform will change quite a bit, and we'll all be full swing into chasing down our favorite toothy critters. As per usual, I always have my co-host, Brad Hoppe. Although I say always, no, Brad, I don't. I actually don't have you for September. You're always off fishing, and it's impossible to get you to record a podcast.
Well, not impossible, but when our schedules don't align, that's for sure. It ends up being a problem. But I always try to be here because I truly love doing it, Jeff. It's always a lot of fun talking to you.
Yeah, we'll get to talk to a whole bunch of different people, people that we wouldn't talk to normally.
Exactly. So it's a good time. I mean, a lot of times in a lot of cases, the guests that we have on, the only time that we see them is maybe at a show or maybe a couple shows throughout the whole season. And that's kind of the only other time that we talk to them, right? Mm-hmm. So it's always fun.
Yeah. I will say, after talking to Amanda this week, I should go get myself a book a stay over at Deerfoot and go check out the Chippewa Flowage. It's been, man, I don't know, it's probably been 5 years since I fished there. It's a fun body of water. I mean, there's something for everybody to chase around there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it offers a ton of different fishing. You can fish dirty water. You can fish clear water. The structure that's in the chip is incredible. And I'll be honest, I mean, the last 5-7 years, you're hearing about a lot bigger fish there as well. So it definitely has a lot to offer to all the different anglers. And I think I talked a little bit about it in the recording as well. The cool thing about the chip is all the different history that you'll find in resort bars, restaurants, and that type of stuff in that neck of the woods as well. So it's just a really cool place. I bet it's been, you said 5 years. It might be 15 for me, Jeff. So it's kind of hard to believe, but that time just blows by. And, you know, you got other destinations that you're going to, but the chip is definitely something to go check out.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I mean, it's just one of those things where people should go up there, just check it off their bucket list, if anything else.
Agreed. Completely.
Well, Brad, I don't have a whole lot to add to intro. I mean, not much is going on here. As you know, I've been struggling with a lighting disaster, essentially, in the shop. So I've been, not disaster, but a couple of years, last spring, we added another row in the shop. And of course, when we added that row, it changed up the lighting factor. So I've had to move, add, change lighting around in the shop. So that's been my project for the last couple of days. And Brad's yelling at me. He's like, can't believe you're not done with that yet. I'm like, well, first off, it's just me. And second of all, I'm pretty rusty in my electrical skills, Brad.
Well, it kind of goes like this, Jeff, if you think about it. You know, the electrician has lighting problems, right? That's you. And then there's the auto body guy with a smashed up vehicle that drives it that way forever. And then the auto mechanic that has a vehicle that doesn't want to run. It's kind of bizarre, but when it's your career, was your career at one point anyway, Jeff, I think some of that kind of slipped.
Yeah. Well, the reason I told my wife, I said, all right, so I kept saying, oh, like, oh, last year, I'll do it. Well, what's going to happen here is we're going to get into what we'll call busy season here fairly shortly, and then it'll never get done. And I know my daughters and wives, they're walking around the shop yesterday. They're like, man, it's so much brighter. I'm like, yeah, when, you know, there's a whole row of lights that's not right over the top of these racks, it makes things a little bit better. So it's one of those things. If I knew if I didn't get to it soon, I had to make it a priority, because you know how it is, Brad. As I just talked about, it's going to be fishing season really soon for everybody, not just, you know, the people in the South.
Yeah, for sure. There's a bunch of muskie fishing going on across the country already. But here in the Midwest, it's knocking on the door for sure.
Before I dial up our conversation we had with Amanda, I want to just let you know that if you're looking for gear for your next musky fishing adventures, make sure you check out TeamRhinoOutdoors.com. We're your source for all musky gear, not just custom exclusive colors. You can find it all here, whether you're looking for rods, reels, nets, tackle boxes, Bahio sunglasses, whatever. We have you covered, line, lots of that too, and of course baits. So we have that. And don't forget about Brad and Carrie, muskymayhemtackle.com. They're the originators of the big bladed Flashaboo bucktails. Go check out Brad and Carrie and see what they have to offer. I'm sure everything from, you know, detonators to cowgirls to grenades and mini grenades and supermodels, they have you covered, big, small, everything in between. So check out muskymayhemtackle.com. And if you're, you know, bored, go check out our social media stuff, TeamRhinoOutdoors.com on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You could check out the Team Rhino Outdoors Musky Fishing Podcast in addition to this one. If you're looking for Brad and Carrie's social stuff, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram as well, along with Mayhem's 10,000 Casts on YouTube. Brad, did I cover it all? Can we go dial up our conversation now?
You did a good job. Let's get after it.
All right. Our guest this week is Amanda Wilson, owner of Deerfoot Lodge. Amanda, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to talk musky fishing with us, the Chippewa flowage, all things musky today. I'm certain that this time of year has to be fairly busy for you. I'd imagine you're starting to get things opened up there in Hayward to start off the, I mean, I'm guessing the fishing season and then the musky season following after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on today. You're exactly right. We're kind of in a quiet shoulder season right now, but everybody's kind of coming back to the area and back to life before fishing opener on May 2nd. So definitely in gear up mode.
Yeah, and May 2nd will be here in a flash. I mean, what are we, the 15th? So we have, what is that, 3 weekends then and before you start fishing up there?
Yep, in the blink of an eye, we'll be back open and welcoming guests for open water season again.
Well, let's talk about the lodge a little bit. You own Deerfoot Lodge, and for people that don't know much about it, why don't you give them a little bit of rundown on it?
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, my family and I, we've owned Deerfoot Lodge on the Chippewa Flowage for the last 12 years, and we're centrally located on the Chip. We have 10 rental cabins, 9 hotel rooms. We also have fishing boats, pontoon boats, pretty lively bar and grill. We like to have a lot of fun here at Deerfoot. And summer by far is our busiest season, but we are open year round. I love fall fishing season here at Deerfoot. And then we are also open in the winter for snowmobiling, ice fishing. It's really four seasons of fun on the Chippewa Flowage. And we get a lot of families that stay with us year after year.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't realize that you guys were open year round. It seems like most of them up there, well, I would say a bunch of them, especially on the lakes, a lot of them probably close up, don't they, for winter?
Some of them do. Yeah, we're lucky on the Chippewa Flowage. The Chippewa Flowage actually has, I would say, the highest density of still fully functioning operating resorts in the area. I think the size of the lake and just the destination fishery that it is, we do have a lot of year-round resorts. A lot of them will close down, kind of like we are. So we're seasonally closed right now, but then we reopen for fishing season. And then again, in the late fall, we'll seasonally close and then reopen for winter season. Kind of our time to, we'll sneak away for vacation and also do remodeling, different projects, things like that. So it's kind of nice to recharge before the busy resort season.
So Amanda, let's talk a little bit about what got you into musky fishing. Why muskies?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually grew up bass fishing. My dad, I was fortunate enough that he took me fishing from a very young age. My parents took my sister and I to a fishing resort in Alexandria, Minnesota every summer when we were kids. And so grew up fishing, absolutely loved it. Had a lot of those 1 week a year resort friends that we would see on our trip every summer and still talk to a lot of those friends to this day. So the resort experience was a very special experience for me and my family. And we probably like 14, maybe even 15 years ago, we started talking. We're like, you know, it'd be really cool to buy a resort and run a resort. And then we're like, no, we're crazy. None of my family had ever been in hospitality before. My dad was an engineer. My mom was a transcriptionist. I was in banking, but it just kept coming up. Like every few months we'd talk about it again. And then finally we said, all right, let's at least start looking. So we came up with a long list of criteria for what it would take to run a profitable resort that could support two families. And we were super lucky that Deerfoot was available. We looked across northern Minnesota and northern Wisconsin for a fishing resort. And the Chippewa Flowage, actually, we wanted to be on a destination lake like the Chip. And as soon as we drove into Deerfoot, I'm like, you guys, I think this is it. We try not to get too excited before we talk to the realtor and all of that. But yeah, we were super lucky and made the leap. And it's been an incredible adventure. Met a lot of amazing people.
Yeah, definitely. So did you musky fish before you owned the resort?
No. So we actually, when we came for one of the showings, we knew that the Chip was a big musky destination. And we're talking with the former owners and we're like, you know, I've never really done much musky fishing. Where would you recommend we go? So he marked up a map for us and we just went out with our biggest, ugliest bass gear and went to one of the spots that he recommended, Pete's Bar, which is a super well-known place on the Chip. And I caught my first muskie and it was a 40 and a half. So I was hooked from that point on. The realtor, he was so funny. He's like, yeah, if I could set up a muskie catch like that for every prospective resort buyers, I think I'd sell a few more resorts.
Yeah, I would imagine. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So pretty fortunate. And, you know, with living on the Chip, certainly the resort business is a busy business, but the boat's always in the water. And so I've been blessed with the opportunity to be musky fishing here the last 12 years.
So do you get out in the Hayward area to venture off the Chip, or are you pretty much like Ty Sennett where you're on the Chip the entire time?
Well, I don't think I would compare myself to Ty Sennett. He's an amazing angler, but I will pop off the Chip occasionally in the Muskies Inc. tournament that I fish in the Hayward area in October. But primarily, I mean, I love this lake. The Chippewa Flowage is pretty special. So mostly here.
Well, I'm sure as you can attest to, you could spend an entire summer or many summers on it, many, many summers on it, and you'll still never have it completely figured out. It's a very vast lake, lots of structures, lots of different patterns going on to fish. I'm sure it's tons of fun to fish on it all the time.
Absolutely. And different every year, too, with the lake level and just when the ice goes out and all the different things that play into the conditions. So yeah, mainly fish here. I do fish in the PMTT, the Pro Muskie Tournament Trail as well. So I'll get away for those lakes that are part of the trail, which is fun because a lot of the lakes on the trail are ones that I've not fished before. It's fun to travel and fish those lakes as well.
We'll circle back to that. You mentioned a couple things. You mentioned depending on when the ice goes out. Was this year the earliest ice out that you've seen in your 12 years?
Yes, earliest ice out. Earliest that the road bans, like the weight restrictions on the roads up here, ever went on. Earliest for a lot of things. But yeah, it was like March 12th or 13th, I think the ice went out by us here. And it's been open since then.
So let's go down that road for just a minute. Have you been on the water recently? Like, what are you seeing as far as water temperatures if you have been?
I have not yet. I have not yet ventured out. I know some people have been launching. The biggest concern that I've been hearing is the water level being so low just because it was such a low precipitation winter. But since the flowage is controlled by, you know, how open or closed the dam is, I think we'll be fine. I think we'll see pretty low water levels for opener, but I think it'll be navigable. There's a lot of alarmist talk online right now, but I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, and plus, you still have 3 weeks yet. Lots can change in 3 weeks, but you also have 3 weeks before the, you know, just a general fishing opener. So it puts us at, like, what, 6 weeks, probably, guessing roughly, before the muskie opener up in northern Wisconsin. Lots can change between now and 6 weeks from now.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like we've got some rain in the forecast, and we're not unfamiliar, especially muskie anglers that come up in the late fall. We're not unfamiliar with low water levels. That's a pretty common thing to encounter in late October, November, when guys come up. So again, I think it could be a little lower than we're used to seeing for May, but I think it'll be navigable and we'll have a good fishing opener.
Sure. Now, the other thing I picked up was you talked about fish. You get out and you fish on a Muskies Inc. tournament, you know, that they have up there. And back in 2017, you won a tournament with a 50.5-inch muskie. Let's talk a little bit about that, because quite honestly, I've never touched a 50.5-inch muskie. I've been in the boat when I've seen a 50-incher caught, but I've never personally caught one myself. Like, talk about it, especially during a tournament. It's got to be awesome to catch a 50 and a half. It's got to be something else to catch it during a tournament.
It was pretty incredible. Yeah, thank you. So my friend Kristen Elmer and I, we've been fishing. It's the Lake Chippewa Flowage Resort Association, their muskie hunt tournament, which is the second weekend of September every fall. And we started fishing that together in 2013 and would consistently catch fish, but never anything that big, never anything that placed until 2017. And the first morning we went out on one of our favorite spots, and as luck would have it, that 50 and a half incher, it struck, and man, it was a very cooperative fish, I'm happy to say. So we didn't have any trouble landing it. And as soon as it hit the bag, we knew it was a good one. It was amazing. I was actually throwing one of Ty Sennett's Vexers, the Real Image crappie pattern, which is a very popular pattern on this lake. The big fish seem to like the Real Image pattern. But yeah, it was pretty incredible. It was the very first morning of the tournament, 7 a.m. So we didn't know if it would hold up. The chip produces a handful of real big fish each year, and that tournament's been won by, you know, 51s, 52s. I don't know if there's been a 53. I'd have to look back, but it ended up holding up, and we were pretty excited. The next year, Kristen actually ended up winning the same tournament with a 48. So back-to-back for the only ladies team in that tournament with 125, I think, participants. We were pretty pumped about that, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, thank you. It's kind of interesting, too. After winning that tournament in 2017, I was getting a lot of attention, which I was, like, not used to because I'd never considered myself, like, a top muskie angler. I just did it, you know, recreationally and was having fun with it. But I actually had somebody reach out to me. They're like, you know, you should really take this story on the road and you should go, we should promote it. And I'm like, I don't know. So I did want to do something with it though, because it seemed like it made the front page of both of our local newspapers above the fold. I was like, oh boy, I had no idea it would gain this much attention. But I reached out to a woman who's now a close friend of mine, but did not know her at the time. Barb Carey, who's the founder and president of Wisconsin Women Fish. And I was like, Barb, what do I do? You know, you're good with this kind of stuff. I'm getting all this attention and I want to do something good for women and fishing with it. And so she's like, you know, I don't think anyone has a women's muskie fishing school. She's like, you should do that. Like, you know, that would be really cool. Get more women involved and kind of share my passion for not only tournament fishing, but just fishing in general, muskie fishing, with other women who are already out there doing it or might be interested in learning about it for the first time. So Barb Carey gets a lot of credit for inspiring the muskie fishing school that we host for women at Deerfoot every fall.
All right. Well, you kind of opened up that one. Let's talk about the school then. I don't know how many lady anglers we have that listen. I hope there's a bunch, a handful. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's not a secret. The sport of muskie fishing is definitely dominated by males, but I feel like it's, you know, growing in popularity with the females as well. I mean, I have a daughter that she's definitely into muskies. I have a daughter that's definitely not into muskies at all, but
sure.
You know, it's definitely growing. So let's talk about that. If there's female anglers listening and they want to get, you know, try to take things to the next level, how do they do that?
Well, absolutely. And to your point, I think it is so great to see more and more women getting involved. And I think we're very lucky in the time that we're in right now. The internet makes it so much easier to connect with other women who are passionate about this sport, even if they're not, you know, right in northern Wisconsin or, you know, regionally. We find them all over, which is pretty fun. But yeah, so our Ladies Muskie Fishing School at Deerfoot Lodge, we host it the third weekend of October every year. So this year's dates are October 18th through the 20th. And it's 3 days of classroom style presentations. We do gear setup. We do casting practice. We have time on the water. We have a number of presentations. So Ty Sennett has been a great supporter of us all 7 years that we've had it. This year will be our seventh year. He'll come in and do a kind of a current tactics and overview of the chip presentation and helps us learn how to rig up suckers because that's a good time for sucker fishing on the Chippewa Flowage. The DNR has been a great supporter as well as Brand Carey. Thank you so much. Musky Mayhem has been one of our sponsors from the very beginning. So we wouldn't be able to put the school on without all of our sponsors. So just a shout out to all the support that we get from the Musky community and from the Hayward Lakes community as well. It's really heartwarming to see. With all that support, we're actually able to offer the school at just $75 per person. And the swag bag that everybody gets with gear and just different things related to musky fishing, that's worth the entry fee in and of itself. So super exciting. We have a lot of other female anglers who will present. Nicole King, who's an incredible kayak musky angler. Well, angler in general, but I can't believe the giant fish she catches out of her kayak. She does a kayak fishing presentation. We've had other presentations about how to break down a lake, you know, Navionics, how do you read your map and increase the likelihood of your catch. Like I said, the DNR is super involved. They help us with, they've actually set up spike nets before outside of the resort. And then participants will have a chance to actually see, you know, what they catch in the nets and understand like why they do the netting and the surveys. Often they'll have a chance to hold a muskie, which is cool because a lot of our newer or participants who are newer to muskie fishing may not have ever held a fish or a muskie before. We do hands-on pike handling so that if they haven't caught a muskie, they for sure get a chance to hold a fish of that shape. I think that that's super important, proper handling and release techniques. Right now, we already have 65 women signed up. So I'm sorry to be saying this, you know, this far in advance. We've capped the school at 65 people. So right now we would just be taking names for a waiting list for anyone that would be interested. But we're just thrilled with the overwhelming support and participation that we get. Probably need to open up a second one at some point, maybe like a May get ready for the season class, but we don't have that just yet.
Wow, that's incredible that you guys were able to get 65 to a school. I mean, it says a lot about, you know, female participation in muskie angling, but also about the type of experience that they must have with this. Are you getting a lot of repeat guests or are you getting a lot of new anglers getting into it?
I would say it's about 50-50 each year. So we have some women that have done it every year. I've got a group of about 8 to 10 volunteers who make sure that the school gets pulled off with that many people successfully. So everybody has a good experience and feels like they've, you know, been able to increase their skills and knowledge. But yeah, it's about a 50-50 mix between brand new people and then people who come back each year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Unbelievable. That's too bad. I mean, it's great that you guys are full. It's unfortunate for any people that are looking to get into it because they can't. But I mean, hey, it's awesome. 65 people for, you know, a school up there in October. I think that's incredible. So, I mean, congratulations on that as well. It sounds like things are going very well at Deerfoot Lodge.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and you're right. In late October, we've had all weather for the school. So sometimes it's been gorgeous. And one year we had a blizzard and that was exciting. That was during the Saturday presentations. And then luckily before the on the water time, the sun came out and it kind of cleared off and we just dusted the snow off the boats and away we went.
Yeah, I'd imagine the last couple of, you know, schools you've had up there have probably been fairly nice, I'd imagine, because October, if I remember right, has been phenomenal for the last 2 years.
Yeah, we've been very lucky the last couple seasons for sure.
All right, Brad, I took up 18 minutes. Your turn.
I didn't wonder if I was even going to be a part of it.
Well, she would say something and then I would make a note and then I would have to just, you know, go off of what I was thinking because I won't come back to it otherwise.
No, it's good stuff. I guess I would like to learn a little bit more about the women anglers of Minnesota as well as the Wisconsin women fish that you had talked about. What are those organizations doing and how are you participating in those?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So I think one of the things that we talk about at our Ladies Muskie Fishing School, but just whenever I'm talking with other female anglers, it's like, how do we get involved? How do we connect with other women who are out there doing this? And both of those clubs that you mentioned, Brad, Wisconsin Women Fish and the Women Anglers of Minnesota, are great ways to meet other women who love to fish, who might be interested in your same sport, in your same area. I've been mostly involved with Wisconsin Women Fish, so I can probably speak more intelligently to that one, but they have events throughout the year across the state, and it's really cool, actually. There are members from all across the U.S. I think there's a few members from Canada actually in the club as well. And in addition to the club organized events, we all have access to the Facebook group, and we can take some location times to the group and get a fishing buddy for that date and time, which is kind of fun. But it's a great way to improve your skills. A lot of women have gone from never fishing before up to now, like owning their own boat, feeling comfortable trailering, launching, you know, expanding what species they target. So both of the clubs are multi-species. Neither is just muskie focused, but it's a fun way to connect with people in your area who also love to fish.
Well, I'm guessing with your muskie side of things, you're probably convincing some of those ladies to actually try it as well.
For sure. We actually, for the first time this year, Wisconsin Women Fish is going up to Lake Vermilion in July, which I had the opportunity to fish for the first time last year in the PMTT and fell in love with it. I'm like, I definitely have to go back to Vermilion. So luckily we are going to go back in July. And Sarah Trampy, who is also a member of Wisconsin Women Fish, she and her husband have the Sportsman Journal TV channel. She's going to be one of the presenters and is going to be there, you know, sharing her knowledge of muskie fishing as well. And I think it's cool because with Wisconsin Women Fish, they often will set up package deals. So we each get to go out with a local guide for a half day. There's lodging as part of that particular trip. So yes, I'm happy to see that more and more that we're getting a little bit of musky action with the club as well.
That's awesome. So maybe we can go down the direction of what kind of gear you're particularly using on a musky outing. So rods and reels. I mean, are you using maybe a smaller base reel for your hand size or things like that? What would you recommend to the women angler that wants to get into musky fishing?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that comfort is key. So practicing, trying out a few different rods and reels that you are comfortable with and can cast with all day is going to be key to your success and wanting to stay out on the water. But my favorite reel right now is the Trank, the Shimano Trank, the low profile of that. I used to bass fish with mostly Shimanos. And so when they came out with that, I was super happy. I've also had a couple of Revo Toros that I really liked. The Daiwa Lexa, that one's a little big, but it, again, has that like low profile shape. One of the things that I know for our muskie school, the DNR actually helps us out. We do a gear lending library, and they actually have some Mojo bass setups that, you know, it's a bass setup, but really gear these days. If it's comfortable and it's a little bit smaller, but it allows you to stay out on the water all day, I definitely encourage women to try that out. Sometimes the bass size, the 300 style reels can be a great fit and will allow you to make more casts, get up to that 10,000 number.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I know, like having my daughter in the boat, and I know Jeff has his daughter that's fishing as well. She's a little bit older than my daughter. So, you know, some of the things that I've learned, like St. Croix with their grasp, it's definitely been a huge tool for her to be able to hold on to the rod easily. And then as well as the comfort. And I think a lot of times the comfort side gets kind of pushed to the side, if you will. And if you're comfortable, you're going to be able to fish those longer hours, just like you had mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really nice. I actually feel like over the last 5-10 years that the gear, even like outdoor clothing for women so that we are comfortable and stay dry and, you know, can do a full day on the boat comfortably, it's gotten a lot better than it used to be, I feel like, especially in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, there's definitely been a curve to the marketing side on that angle, if you will, for whether it be rain gear or just regular comfortable fishing clothes, you know, maybe it's some of the different sun shirts that are available now. And it's amazing how popular they've become over the last couple 5 years. So they definitely have changed their marketing focus, I would say, which is awesome. And I think some of that will maybe present some new women anglers as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I love a lot of the stuff that DSG puts out. Not only does it hold up really well, but I also think, I mean, they have an eye towards style. They do just all women's outdoor gear. Doing Something Great is the brand, and I love their stuff. So I'd recommend checking that out if ladies are looking for rain gear, ice suit, boot, different things, just to make sure that you're comfortable when you're out for a long day.
So, Amanda, you're not doing any guiding out of the resort. I mean, you're doing all this tournament stuff. You're fishing all over the place. Why haven't you started doing the guiding side?
You're right. I have not started guiding. With the hours that I put in at the resort so far, I have wanted to keep my time on the water more recreational. The tournament fishing, it's kind of funny too. I feel like tournament fishing gives a real purpose to the time on the water and almost has like given me a reason to sneak away from the resort. I don't know if I would get into guiding. I give guides so much credit. I mean, being in hospitality, obviously I work with people from all walks of life, a lot of different personalities, but guides taking clients out on a boat for, you know, half day, full day. I am so impressed with the level of service that guides give their clients. So I don't know if I will go down that route, but it's certainly something to keep in mind. I know there's a lot of great guides out here on the chip who are doing a nice job.
It's a whole different career base, right? And you're right. You got to be kind of special to be able to do it. But ultimately, I think it would be really unique and it'd be really cool to see a female guide that it's been quite a few years since I've seen any of them. I'm trying to think. I know Linda Rice does a little bit up in Canada, and there's been a few others over the years, but I'm not thinking of one right now. Maybe you can help me with it. And I know there's multiple type guides that are female, sure. But I don't know about Jeff Muskie. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I think is Christina Troop, is it Troop or Troopy? She's in the Eagle River area. I think she's pretty much all muskie. She seems to be tearing it up the last couple of years. I've been kind of starting to see some of her stuff. And then Brenda Meyer, who's one of our guides that gives a presentation at Our Lady of Muskie School. She's up here in the Hayward Lakes area. She does do multi-species, but man, can she catch muskies? She does mostly river fishing. And my dad and I actually went out with her and her husband last summer, and we had 12 muskies on for the day between the two boats. We caught 8 and we saw at least 5 others. It was just phenomenal, this section of river they took us down. And granted, river muskies are a little bit smaller than, you know, some of the big chip or Lake St. Clair or some of the big water fish that you might see, but it was really fun to catch that many muskies. So they're out there, but yeah, you're right. They're farther and fewer between.
Yeah, I'm glad that I asked that because I knew there was, and you remind me of a couple right there. And it's weird. I think Jeff and I don't know how many years ago this was, but we had a female podcaster with us, and we were both like, I don't think we've ever had a female on. And then we went back and looked, and I think we had like 15 of them or something stupid, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't know if it was 15, but it was definitely a lot more than the one that we thought. That was an epic fail.
Well, everything just kind of blends together. When you do these podcasts, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a blast. But I've lost track of who we talked to. What podcast is this one, Jeff? I don't even remember.
I want to say like probably 267, I'm guessing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. But no, I think I understand the resort work. You don't get a break. And I give all resort owners a lot of credit, especially if they're doing it right like you do. It's not an easy lifestyle, that's for sure. I mean, you're the first one up, probably the last one to go to bed, and it's running nonstop and trying to make everybody happy.
Yeah, we're blessed to have a great clientele and a great team. I would not be able to do it without our team. I mean, we run 8 people year round, and then upwards of 20, 22, including part-time team members during the summer. So I give the solopreneurs a lot of credit, or the small family resort owners, because yeah, without our team, I don't know how it would be done. So I agree with you.
How many resorts are on the chip? Do you know, Amanda? I mean, there's a lot, right?
Oh yeah. You know, our resort association, I know we have 40 or so members, but they're not all resorts. Some of those are other community businesses as well. I want to say it's probably close to 20, fewer if you're looking for like the full bar grill experience, but there are a lot of smaller resorts that, you know, have a handful of cabins. So we're really lucky on the chip to have as many as we do.
I think one of the coolest things about fishing on the chip, and it's been quite a few years since I've been over there, but the history, the muskie history especially, I mean, it just blows my mind. You can go into all these different places, you know, it might be the bar or the restaurant on the lake, and the experience you get with all of the stuff that's maybe hanging on the walls or some of the conversation side of things, and the amount of history in the Hayward area, not only the Hayward area, but the Chick specifically, it's just so cool. I love that part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of our fellow resort owners, John Detloff, who has Indian Trail Resort, he's a heck of a muskie angler as well. He just published a new book called Whispers of the Past, A History of the Chippewa Flowage. And that has been so fun to page through. It's got the history of all the resorts and, like you're saying, the fishing and just the whole community history. It's pretty spectacular that he put that all down in writing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So let's change gears a little bit. Let's talk about the PMTT, how you got involved in that, and how long you've been doing it, Amanda.
Yeah, absolutely. So my first PMTT was in 2021. Another female PMTT angler who had fished it since 2004, she actually reached out to me. She was looking for a new partner. Her name is Diana Warline, and I know a lot of the PMTT folks are familiar with her longstanding history in the tournament trail. But she reached out and she's like, I hope this isn't weird, but I'm looking for a new partner. And I see that, you know, you're pretty active in muskie fishing. It's hard to find somebody who can dedicate that much time, you know, with all the different tournaments, but would you consider fishing it? And I said, heck yeah. So we fished it in 21 and 22 together. And then she ended up stepping away in 23. So Nicole King, who I mentioned earlier, she kayak fishes for muskie primarily and does very well. She and I fished it last year. And then now she had some conflicts this year. So Sarah Trampy and I are fishing it together this year. Nicole and I, we were pretty lucky. We ended up taking eighth in the championship last year, which was on home water, so that might have had something to do with it, but we had a great time. It's been a wonderful experience. I love all the teams that are involved, and think that the tournament coordinators do a great job, so excited to be fishing that again this year.
Where is the trail going this year? I haven't even looked at the schedule, so I'm not even aware where you're going to be going. I know it starts off on the Cave, and that's coming up here shortly.
Absolutely. So in June, we will be on the Madison Chain again. And then in August, I'm excited, it'll be on Lake Minnetonka, and I have not been there yet. So that'll be fun. I was listening to back episodes of Backlash Podcast is actually part of my like research that I do. So I got to look through the archives and see if you guys have anything on Minnetonka.
It'll probably be, what do we have, Brad, for Minnetonka? Ryan McMahon, maybe, and Greg Schrader? Does he fish there too?
Yep, those two for sure. I'm trying to think of who else might have been on the list. Again, I just got done telling you that everything blends together and it seems like I forget. So but those two for sure, Minnetonka guys. I'm trying to think of who else. I don't know if we've had anything specific other than those two off the top of my head.
Sure. Okay, well, that is a good start. And then the championship, when we qualify, we like to manifest that, is on the Eagle River Chain again, which I love fishing. So pretty excited for the opportunity to go back there.
It'll be interesting to see how a championship plays out in Eagle River. Normally, that would be like the second stop in June. So it'll be a different time frame. Right. And it'll be a whole different ball game from what they're used to that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so many good anglers in that area. So it'll be game on for sure.
Now let's talk about the PMTT, not necessarily just from the female perspective, but, you know, what is it that draws you to the tournaments? Why do you like them so much? Obviously, I fished them, and I think that many people should fish them. There's lots to be, you know, there's lots of cool people to meet. There's lots that you can learn, even if you're not catching muskies. Those are just a few things that I think about it. You know, what is it for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of it, I already touched on a little bit, but it kind of gave me a reason to get away from the resort that was more focused than just like vacation, which may sound kind of silly, but a great way to network with other anglers. You mentioned I learn something every time I go. For me personally, I really increased my comfort with trailering, launching, loading, like all of the boat type stuff. I've owned my own boat for 15 years, but it's like the last 12, it's pretty much always been in the flowage. That was a pretty cool thing over the last 3-4 years that I have gotten out of it. And just the techniques and the skill level of the fellow participants, like even though you're in a tournament, everyone is so encouraging. I mean, for the most part, and help each other out. And it's really cool to be there, you know, on awards day when everybody's talking through what techniques and what baits and all the different presentations and things. So definitely, if you want to be the best, you got to surround yourself with the best. So I think to be around anglers of that talent level has been one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I think if you know, if you're one of those anglers that just goes, fishes, and then leaves again, I think you might not get the complete, you know, package out of it. If you go to the meetings and all that stuff and you listen to people and you kind of, you know, use it as a social event a little bit, it's amazing how much more you can take out of it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's been fun too, meeting the other anglers. We've had a lot of people who fish the trail stay at Deerfoot as a result. So, I mean, it's our target market of guys for sure, and gals.
So then you can write all that off, right? It's a write-off for, what is that, you know, just publicity or marketing, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Nice to have a business in the fishing industry, right, guys?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So Amanda, how many people that come to Deerfoot are musky anglers versus bass, walleye, whatever?
That is an excellent question. I would say the percentage dramatically increases in September and October and even into November, where most of our guys are coming up to musky fish. Throughout the year, we're super family friendly. Like, I think most people who stay at Deerfoot, there's a fishing focus. We're super well set up for fishing, ton of docks, electric at the docks, fish cleaning house. Like, we know what we want when we go on a fishing trip. So we've really tried to offer those same amenities to our guests staying here. But percentage-wise, I mean, I think because the Chip is such a well-known musky destination, there's a handful of them throughout the year, all year. But then, yeah, it definitely picks up in September and October when they start to fatten up.
You know, let me talk a little bit about this, and I don't know how much of it you may or may not know, but I'd imagine you'd have an idea based off of, you know, stories that are told. You know, obviously there's been a lot of talk. Every show I went to this year, somebody wanted to talk about stocking or lack of stocking, you know, just different muskie related topics. Like, in your opinion, what do you think the muskie population is like at the Chippewa Flowage? Is it as good as it's been in your 12 years of owning the lodge?
Yeah, I have not seen a decline in the last 12 years. I mean, our musky charts are full. People are definitely putting up fish. We get a handful of 50 plus each year. I think we are one of the more fishing targeted resorts. There's some that might not cater to fishing as much as we do, but I guess over the last 12 years, I'm not seeing a decline. I know that stocking has been a hot topic, and the Resort Association, the Property Owners Association, many of us are working diligently to try to get more musky stocking. And there are quite a few people who are willing to put money toward that, which is great to see. I know when I was just down at the Wanakee Musky School that the Capital City chapter of Muskies Inc. puts on, they were also talking about stocking and just, I think, the need to figure out how to do that better with the hatcheries. And I know they've had some trouble with fish not being available when they thought they were going to be available. So I don't know what the silver bullet is for that, but I know there's definitely a local interest in additional stocking.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, as you know, for you as a business owner that has a you know, a musky clientele, you're interested in making sure that those fish populations are as good as they can be. You know, for me, I sell fishing lures. Brad sells fishing lures. We want to make sure that, you know, everything's, you know, is basically as good as it can be. And like I said, many people, they stopped me at the shows this year, and that was just, like you said, a hot topic. It was strange that it was this year that every show I stopped at, somebody was wanting to talk about it. Multiple people actually infected. And, you know, previous years, it wasn't such a big deal. And I think maybe it's because it's come to light. You know, you talked about the Madison chain, but I also heard that, who is it? The one of the Milwaukee chapters, they stock muskies, and I heard that this spring they didn't stock them because they couldn't even get them from the fish hatcheries because they're sold out or whatever it was too. And I was like, man, this is kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah, it seems like there's definitely more demand and funding available than there are fish. So I don't know what the fix is for that, but I know that it would be nice to see that get figured out.
Well, Brad, you got some land over there, right? Why don't you start, you know, you got nothing else to do. You might as well do a fish hatchery as well, right?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, in my neck of the woods here, for whatever reason, the Alexandria area and north, there's a ton of fisheries places here privately owned. It's amazing to me, and I think that's maybe the topic, right? And the reason that people are starting to talk about it more at the shows and so on and so forth. It's weird that Wisconsin is in trouble where they can't provide enough fish. Minnesota's in that same realm. And then you look at some of these other states across the country, you know, if you look at Indiana or Ohio, they're producing fish. What's going on here, right? So I don't know. That topic, I think, has been kind of an undertow for a little bit, and all of a sudden it's becoming apparent to the normal muskie angler, and it's scary stuff, right? As far as, like, property and whatever you're saying, Jeff, I mean, I've offered. I mean, I have a skid loader. I have access to a backhoe. I can make ponds. That's not the problem. But where do you get the eggs and the fry, you know, to start? So I don't think it's a dollar issue. And it's kind of bizarre when you start talking to different people about this topic. The dollars are there. We need to figure out how and what to do with the fishery side of it so that we get enough eggs or we get enough fry to actually raise them, right? The dollars will be there to feed them. So I think that's the real battle. And I know I've been talking to Jeremy Smith and a few other individuals, and they are really, really working with the Minnesota DNR. I'm not so sure about the Wisconsin side. I'm sure there's somebody that could answer those questions, but I don't know. There's a lot of people that are really, really working at this topic right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in a handful of years. Obviously, nothing's going to get resolved in the next, you know, 365 days. So it'll just be, you know, something we'll have to continue to monitor and talk about as we go forward. You know, Amanda, one thing I kind of want to switch gears up a little bit is, I think you were at the Milwaukee show this year. When you were at the show, was there anything that you picked up bait-wise, gear-wise, that you're excited to try out for 2024?
You know, that actually was the first show, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, that I actually left without buying anything. And I was like, I left and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I even get out of there without purchasing anything? Because usually that's not how it goes for us muskie anglers, is it?
Yes. I know when I was just, you know, I didn't own the retail business and I went to a muskie show. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it. My wife doesn't listen to the podcast, but she probably wouldn't have to work anymore if I wouldn't have went to muskie shows.
Yeah, no, those are always such a great way to kick the season off and check out new baits that are on the market and different gear and everything. I know that's one reason that I love going down to Cave Run is because it kicks off the season early. It's the whole month ahead of, you know, our fishing opener up here in northern Wisconsin. So it's, I think, especially this year with what a poor winter it was recreationally, that people were busy, they were at the shows, they were checking stuff out. I think everybody's pretty eager for open water season this year.
Yeah. Well, it won't be real long and you'll be heading down to Kentucky. What is that, 2 weeks yet?
Yeah. Yep. It's the 27th, 28th.
Yeah. We say it all the time. You know, Brad was talking about how many episodes we've done and who we've talked to. It's crazy just how fast things go. I mean, it seemed like, you know, literally we were just at shows and a month later now I've already, you know, it's shows are in the back burner and we're talking about fishing, you know, openers in the south, and then it won't be long and it'll be in the north, and you're talking 2 weeks to go to Cave Run. It's just, as you get older, the days just fly by faster and faster.
They say that. Yep.
I think I was told that my whole childhood from my parents, and now I'm living it. It's kind of weird.
Well, now you're telling your kids that.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not going to listen just like we did.
No. No, like, Dad doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
Well, Amanda, it was great to talk to you today. I really do appreciate it, and I thank you very much for your time during a busy time of year. You know, for muskie anglers that are looking to visit the Northwoods, specifically the Chippewa Flowage, do you have availability for people to come and see you this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So we We have hotel rooms and cabins. I think I mentioned that earlier, but yes, we absolutely have availability during the peak musky times of year. The peak summer weeks, the cabins are pretty well full. We're very fortunate to have families that stay with us summer after summer after summer, like clockwork, but they're typically we can in the fall and right at musky opener in the spring. So if they wanted to check that out, we have a real-time availability calendar and a booking engine on our website. Our website is deerfootlodge.com. They can also give us a call. Our resort number is 715-462-3328. And we're also on Facebook. They can send a message that way as well. And we'd love to host them. We love hosting musky anglers. And when you register your musky on the chart, you get a free drink at the bar. So that's always fun too.
There you go, Brad. Let's go up to the Chippewa Flowage and get some drinks after we catch some muskies.
I'm all about it. It's been a long time. I love it over there. It's a great destination and people should check it out. If nothing else, just for the history side of things, but the fishing has vastly improved over there over the last 20 years. It's an awesome body of water to spend time on.
All right, Amanda.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. It's been nice talking with you.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on, and we want to thank all of our listeners again for tuning in for another episode of Backlash Podcast. You know, Amanda, I hope you have yourself a great season. I hope you have a successful trip down to Kentucky, and I wish you all the best this year. So thank you very much, and thank all of our listeners.
Thank you.